Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? I am, well, first off, I want to pray because I need prayer at this moment, for sure. And I need to get myself situated here. But, so let me pray. My Lord and Father, what a wonderful Father you are.
Yes, you are.
You are the most pure. You're the most gracious. You're the most wonderful God, Father, Savior that I could ever imagine. It's tough to get up and speak in front of people, Father, but I know that I can do it with you with me. I know that you will keep the adversary back. Mm-hmm. And I know that you will help my confused and discombobulated mind. Mm-hmm. I just thank you for being there with me, Father, throughout my life. I thank you for being there with all of the people who have faith in you.
Yeah.
And even those who don't.
Mm-hmm.
You're there with them as well, and I thank you for that.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray. And I just hope that these words will glorify you and accomplish the goal that you have for me giving these words today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So, well, first thing, God, I wish I could speak without looking up. But, right. I wish I... first thing I wanted to say is that I have just amazing, I'm in awe of everybody who's ever had to get up here and speak to the whole congregation. And those out on cyberspace that, you know, I imagine looking at the screen right now like, oh. I got up for this. But so Pastor Dan, Elder Grace, Deacon Gary, Deacon Don, I'm sure I missed them all. I mean, anybody who's ever got up here and given a testimony or anything. I always was in awe of you before, but now I'm just like, you guys are just way elevated in my in the stature of people that I know. So. Well, this is going to be short, so I'm not going to be nervous too long. So I just wanted to say that, too. You know, like, I'm not just kidding. I don't know. It may not. God has definitely given me some things to say this week. Elder Grace texted me last Saturday, and it just seems like everything since then has just supported what or God has just been just kind of giving me things to say. And thoughts that... You know, he just brought to mind that, surprisingly so, and I don't know if any of you guys have had this experience, it was weird because it's the first time for me, but he gave me some thoughts and then later on told me, don't say that. You know, he wanted to use this week to bring some things to my attention, and but he didn't want me to say it, so... but I have some things to say. I have some notes. Hopefully I follow these notes and hit every point and that you guys get the meaning and the spirit of what God wants me to say in a way that, you know, he appointed it to be. So first thing, let me give you the verse that, because what Grace asked me to do was, what verse is my favorite verse, and to give an explanation of what it means to me. And so that verse is Philippians 4:13, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. And what great, you know, crazy thing is when I first got the text, this verse came to mind because it is the verse of my life and my faith. But then I thought, well, no, I need to pick something else because that one's too You know, everybody knows that verse. I wanted to pick, you know, I wanted to be that super Christian to pick something obscure that nobody's ever heard of, you know. And then give this explanation where everybody's like, oh, why isn't that my favorite verse, you know? But I couldn't. I'm not a super Christian. I'm just a dude that, in fact, I'm only a speaker. I think there was supposed to be more, but nobody else could make it. So I'm saying this for my own benefit, is that I'm not the speaker. I wasn't supposed to be the speaker. I'm just a guy that, I'm the guy that could show up. So it's what you got. It's what you got. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And it makes me well up just thinking about it. He, throughout my faith in him, when I finally reached out my hand to meet his, he started at some point during that journey, he brought this verse to life to my attention. And I immediately started using it like in a quip that you get from like a motivational speaker, you know. So when things got tough, I would repeat it, you know. I can do all things, you know, through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And but it worked. To my amazement, it worked. And it didn't work, I think, just because I said the words. I think it worked because at that point I had true faith that it would. I expected it to work. I expected God to show up and give me strength in a situation where I didn't have enough. My humanity just was not enough. And I'll give you an example of that, that I'm hoping I can explain it in such a way that you guys can get the gravity of it that I had in the moment. This only happened maybe about 13 weeks ago, but I'll tell you about that later. So that became the verse of my life, the verse of my faith, the verse that on the day of my demise, I hope to be the final thought for me. When I look back on my life and I see all the moments that he just stepped in. When I was falling down, he stepped in. You know, this being one of those moments, because I wasn't even sure if I was going to speak this long. So, but you know, this, I'm not going to say that. But so the first point I wanted to make is that this verse permeates through my entire life, my just everything, every moment. My life has been, in some ways, for the longest time, relatively easy. You know, I lived in the suburbs of Baltimore, somewhat suburbs. You know, grew up, went to Baltimore Public School. I did okay in school. But, you know, life was moving along. I didn't have any major issues. We got married to my beautiful wife of 28 years. The love of my life that in my spirit I kind of knew was the one when I first saw her. So, you know, the Lord allowed me to have a wonderful life for many, many years with no real major issues. Two wonderful kids. And then 2016 came. And without going into detail, just because, especially since it's Youth Sunday, we had some major issues happen in our family. In our immediate family too, but in my extended family. major issues that I never would have thought would come to our family. You know, these are the types of things you see on the news and you're like, what? But what happens in your family, you're like, my God, how can something like that happen? How can humans do that to each other? And I needed God's strength. Just couldn't, my family couldn't deal with it. We all needed his strength. And so I started thinking about this verse. Oftentimes, actually, this verse itself doesn't come to mind, but I'm reminded that God is there in those moments and that he is carrying me. You know, I'm not walking through this thing, through the muck, by myself. I'm not picking up my feet out of the heavy mud and putting one in front of the other. I'm not. I'm not even able to do that. I'm not even able to do that. Yeah. The humanity is flawed. Humanity is faltered. Humanity is, God created us wonderfully. But then we came on this earth. And as we go through our lives on this earth, we get deeper and deeper in the muck. But once we come to faith in him, he lifts us out of that muck. Slowly but surely, as we mature, yes. As we mature, he lifts us out of that muck. And so, getting back to what I was saying, the verse itself doesn't necessarily come to mind, but I'm reminded that God is with me and that he is holding me up. And so in those moments is when I am 100% focused on him. And in those moments are sometimes the most beautiful ones in my life. When I look back, I don't look all necessarily all the time at the great times. You know, when I think about how the most wonderful, the most fulfilling times of my life, not most wonderful because they've been horrible times, be it a significant, at that same time, significant, went through this issue with my family and then went through a significant health issue with my wife. And that was tough. And amongst all that, you still got to work. You still got to perform. Still got the house has to keep going. Kids have to be taken care of. Society doesn't step in and says, oh, we got you. The government doesn't step in and say, oh, we got you. You know, fine citizen, you've been paying your taxes. We're gonna suspend all your bills. We're gonna send over a social worker and they're gonna take care of you and your family. This is a tough time for you. It doesn't happen. But the Lord himself steps in and he gives you strength when you need it most. Not just when you need it, although he does that too, but when you need it most. And the great thing about God is that he applies the strength to you at the perfect amount that you need at the time. You know, he doesn't in a light concerning situation, he doesn't pick you up and throw you over on solid ground. You know, he allows you to continue to go through it, but he mediates that. He gives you the amount of strength that you need in each and every moment. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just how vast this God is. Our minds just cannot wrap around. We could never understand how great he is. All he can do, we can never understand it fully. We get bits and pieces of understanding that he gives us. But like, you know, somewhere in the Bible, I'm not a Bible scholar, man. I'm not. My wife calls me Bible answer, man. I am not. But so I know somewhere in the Bible it talks about, I don't even know where, I think it's in the Old Testament, but how God can't show his full face to us because we would, yes, we would, it would destroy us. That's how amazing this guy is. And he shows us enough of his face to get us through our toughest times. He shows us enough of his face to make the good times even sweeter. He shows us enough of his face to keep us interested. You know? It's amazing how he does it. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And you know, the other amazing thing about it is that it's not just in our lives. Like in this church, this church, we can see it in other people's lives. And it's just as amazing.
Yeah.
As we share with each other, just having conversations and just talking about what God has done, or just talking about how our week was. And then you could pick up on it. Oh, wow. God was there in that moment. They might not even see it. But all of us are on the same wall. It's not the same exact walk, but we're on the same walk.
Yeah.
And for the youth out there, I tell you, I am I'm excited for you, because the beginning of that walk is emotionally the most exciting, because it's like you found the best toy you could ever imagine. And you get to play with it, and you don't have to share it with anybody. You know, it's brand new, it's shiny, and you start recognizing and realizing all these wonderful things it can do. And you're like, wow, this is the best thing that could ever happen. This is the best thing that could ever happen. So for you guys, I just remember those days, and for you guys, I just am super excited for you, because as you go along this journey, your mind will be blown. It'll never be blown. Well, I shouldn't say never, but it may not ever get blown like the first moment when you first come to that true faith and you understand that you have that true faith and you recognize the power of that true faith. But he will keep blowing your mind throughout the rest of your life.
Yes, sir.
That's also exciting. That's also overwhelming. But anyway, so it this verse and the spirit of this verse permeates through my entire life. Just every situation I've ever found myself into, good and bad, as I've said. So, more about the verse itself. So, the Apostle Paul is the one that wrote Philippians. Wrote it while he was in a Roman prison, incarcerated. Talk about being low. Not knowing in those days, you didn't know when you were getting out. Really, you didn't have to have real charges. you just having been close to that situation before, that tests your spirit.
Yeah.
To not know when you're going to get out, what your life is ever going to be like, if it's ever going to be like it was, if your life has now changed for the worse forever until the end, that is, it's a tough place to be. And he was in that moment when he was sitting in that jail cell in Rome. But he wrote to the Philippians, and he was kind of trying to encourage them. And so he wrote this verse in Philippians 4:13. At the time, it was just a letter, so it wasn't Philippians 4:13 at the time. But he wrote that in his letter, and what he was talking about was all the many challenges. This prison challenge was just the current one. You know, Pastor said in a message not too long ago, he listed all the challenges Paul had: shipwrecked, abandoned, beaten, incarcerated many times. 9 lashes, I think, he had received. Well, 39 minus 1. lashes. Can you imagine? And yet, he still wrote this verse. I could do all things in him that strengthens me. So getting back to the situation that I had, hope y'all don't mind me being a bit vulnerable with y'all today. I had people, I was on a train a few weeks ago, and I was walking down around, you know, those skinny aisleways on the train, and this guy who I thought was a pretty big guy, and another guy was standing in the hallway, so I had to kind of wait for them to do what they were going to do so I could get past. And the one guy looks at the other guy and says, hey, man, let's let the big guy through. And I'm saying, who is he talking to? Who is he talking about? You know, I'm like, I'm not a big guy. I mean, I know some guys that are way bigger than I am. And so it always amazes me when people, you know, talk about, you know, my height and size or whatever, because I just don't see myself as that. But I say that to say, I want to be vulnerable with you guys because it is important to really show, be honest and open about what God has done for us. No matter your stature, no matter your size, no matter your station in life, none of that matters. The truth must come out. The truth must come out. So I'm going to speak my truth. So sometimes this has happened later in life. I never had this issue before, but probably over the last 5 years or so, I've suffered from anxiety attacks. You know, it's sometimes it comes out of nowhere. Sometimes I know exactly what it's about, the cause of it. But I get short of breath. I can feel my heartbeat increasing. I can't think. I feel like I'm going to pass out. And, you know, of course, me thinking to myself, like, wait a minute, this doesn't happen to me. What's going on? You know, this is not possible. You know, and so I call this One Night in Charleston. So I've changed careers in the last 3 months. I'm 53 years old, trying to learn a new job. The other job I had, I did for 17 years. I could do it in my sleep. Made good money at it. But I always wanted to own my own company and follow in the footsteps of my mother, who I'm so proud of. But so I decided God brought this opportunity to me, and I had given up on it at 50 years old. So I made a decision then. I was either going to join the government, right, George? Or I was talking to George right around that time. I was either going to join the government and ride out to retirement, or I was going to go off on my own if the opportunity presented itself, or I was going to continue my job and retire in 10 years or so. And after talking to George and getting an understanding of what it takes to get into government, I gave up on that. Not George's fault. That was me just looking at your application process. And then I always had a thing that I would not start my own business unless I had a customer. I wasn't the type that could go out and just start a business and hope something happens. I'm in awe of people who can do that. I really am, but it's just not me. I'm just not that kind of person. So the other option was, which I took, was to stay in my job, and I was just going to retire in 10 years. And so I gave up on that dream, and I was kind of mad at God. Be honest with you. I was kind of like, you know, God, what? It's just a dream. I mean, is it going to harm anybody if you give me this dream? You know? But I was like, but this is where you want me to go. This is where you want me to stay. This is where I'll stay. And I'll try to impact as many people as I can for him in that position. Then a bunch of things, I'm not going to go into detail because I've already spoken too long, I think. But a bunch of things just happened. Starting in October of last year, I had given up the idea of starting my own company. A bunch of things happened in succession, just like that, and there the opportunity was. And it was the kind of opportunity, it was like, it would be stupid not to do that. So I did. It was like God made it the natural course of my life. Amazing. Amazing. It's another situation where, I couldn't make it happen. He did. He came in with his strength, but only like a small part of his strength. Changed my life. But with God's blessing, sometimes comes hard times. And that's good. Hard times is where we learn the most. And we learn the most about ourselves, and we learn the most about what he can do for us. So it's 3:21 in the morning.
Oh, no.
Some of y'all know what I'm going to say. 3:21 in the morning, one night in Charleston. So in my new job, I have to go to Charleston every 6 weeks. I work with a small software development team down there. I'm a project manager, and it's my job, even though I've never been a software developer, to help them stay on track, meet requirements, meet the goals of the customer, and a bunch of other stuff that I never imagined that I would be doing. I barely have a college degree, if I'm honest. I went to school right out of high school, and my first year did not go well. It did not go well. And I took a break. I tried a couple other schools, took a break. Lo and behold, in my late 30s, I got my degree, after kids and all of that. And so I found myself in this situation trying to learn this very complicated thing, very complicated. On top of that was some very smart people that I'm trying to lead. And there's a little bit more background on them. This is the Naval Research Lab. And the Naval Research Lab is, to me, a special place because it's where I've dedicated my entire career. It's a place where there is, I think, 6,000 government people that work for this organization. 3,500 of them have PhDs in their very scientific disciplines. And these are some of the smartest people in their disciplines in the world. I should say these are the most, let me take that back. These are some of the most learned people. I'm a firm believer that no one is smarter than the other. Firm believer. Albert Einstein said that even a fish will think you're stupid if you judge it on how it climbs a tree. That's my favorite secular saying, because no one is smarter than the other. Don't ever let anybody tell you that somebody's smarter than you. They're not. They know something you don't, but it's because of their life experience. But I digress. 3:21, one night in Charleston, 3:21 a.m. Woke up in a sweat. The day before, we had some meetings. I was just horrified how it went. I was supposed to, much earlier than I was first deemed to, I was supposed to lead this meeting, and I barely was able to say anything. My boss had to really run the meeting. And then on top of that, he asked, now mind you, this is the guy that makes a decision whether I keep my job there or not, whether I can continue to make money, because being on my own, it's just me and the company. If he decides to let me go, I have nothing else. My paycheck immediately stops. So that day before, at the end of the day, you know, he comes over to me and says, you know, hey, I'm going to be here at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. You know, we're going to start our meetings tomorrow at 8:30, which I want you to lead. But could you meet me here at 7? I want to talk to you. And immediately, my heart dropped. And but then I picked myself back up. I was like, you know what? It could be anything. And I think I talked to my wife on the phone, and she was like, it could be anything. You know, and I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. It might be anything. Went to bed that night. I went to bed early because I knew I needed to be up and on top of my game that next day because it was going to be a long day. And so I'll be trying to make this story shorter. I woke up in a cold sweat and all of these negative thoughts, and it was the devil attacking me or one of his minions. I don't know who it was, but they were attacking. Every negative thought that could ever have come across my mind came across like, you are not capable. There's no way you're going to be able to do this. Tomorrow is going to be devastating to you. And those thoughts kept going. I tried every trick in the book to try to get rid of all these thoughts. And they were rushing in. It was like they were overwhelming me. It was like just a constant barrage. It was an attack that I'd never seen before, that I never thought I would be worthy enough to even get. You know, like I never thought the devil would care enough about me to attack me like that. You know, I mean, it's just. And it went on for 15. 20 minutes. Mind you, I got to be at the facility at 7 a.m. It's 3:21. And I started getting my thoughts together a little bit, just to get this one thought together that it's late. If I don't get to sleep right now, no matter what happens, I'm going to be too tired to perform tomorrow. It will be what the devil is telling me will be true. And so the thought came to mind, you know, I just out loud just called out to God, and I said, God, you have to do this. I've tried everything I can do. I've tried everything I can think of to try to get back to sleep, to try to get my head together. I said, you have to do it. I said, God, you have to do it now, because if I don't get to sleep now, no matter what, I won't be able to do anything tomorrow. And, you know, this customer is going to ring me in the morning and then expect me to lead these meetings tomorrow morning. And I said, I need to be able to show what I can do. I need to be prepared for that. I said, so God, it's on you. This is one of those situations where you have to pick me up and carry me. And as soon as I finished that, my mind was clear. Absolutely clear for like 3 seconds, because the next thing I remember is waking up in the morning refreshed, no negative thoughts. It's amazing. Got up, got dressed. I know it might seem like a small thing. I'm hoping I'm getting this across to you guys that it happened to me. Got up and went to work the next morning, sat down with the customer, and he told me that he wanted to tell me how good a job I was doing. And I'm looking at my wife, my mouth wide open. I'm just like, and he said, you know, it seems like you didn't think I was going to say that. Like, no. What have I done? What have I done to deserve that? And he told me about some other things that I had done that were important to him that I didn't realize. These are just things I was just doing to support them, and I didn't realize how important it was. So that's an example of how God, in that moment, picked me up, carried me. It reminds me of that Footprints poem, Footprints in the Sand. I'm hoping everybody's familiar with it. It, yeah, I mean, it's, that poem's just totally affected me when I first heard it. It made a lot of things make sense to me. So, I mean, it's a great thing to be reliant on the Lord. Don't ever feel like, for the youth out there, don't ever feel like you're being vulnerable or you're being soft or whatever. Being vulnerable and reliant on the Lord. He will never, ever let you down. He will always meet your, he will always meet your need beyond your expectations. Always. Whether you realize it in that moment or not, you'll realize it later in life, trust me. He will always be vulnerable to him. Be vulnerable to others. Expecting him to cover you and not them. You know? So, last thing I wanted to say is, well, I actually want you guys to join in on me on this. Instead of, I can do all things in him that strengthens me, I want to change it up a little bit, if I might. I know this is the Bible, but I don't want to change the spirit of it. I just want to change some words. But why not, right? I want us all to say, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. So say it with me. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. Thank you all so much. Appreciate it. Love you all.